You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Support for this podcast comes from Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Did you know riders who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $200 per year? That's a whole new pair of riding gloves and more. Quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $197 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between October 2024 and September 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Marina, welcome to Cat on the Loose again, but this time we're doing it together live at our studios in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So awesome to be here. Thank you for having me again on the show. And what an honor, you know, what a pleasure it is to be here and inside your studio.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but for people that don't know what's going on, if you guys didn't listen, Marina already did one episode. We did it via video call because you live in Florida. I live in California. And we're getting hundreds of thousands of views from the video, of course. So what we're going to do today is continue that conversation. We're going to dive deep and I'm going to try to have her answer some of the questions you guys send. So if you didn't listen to the first episode with Marina, I recommend you go there and listen so you can catch up, because she talks about her background story, everything. How did she meet Jeffrey? Everything that happened to her to that point. So I'm not going to repeat. We're going to move on. Is that good with you, Marina?
I completely agree.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome. So when we finished the first episode, I remember I asked you this crazy controversial question, right? That if you thought he really killed himself, or if you thought he was murdered. And then you gave us, to me, it was shocking in a way that I didn't know what to expect, but obviously a lot of people out there agree with you with what you said. Do you want to give your opinion here again so we get started?
Yeah. I think everyone, you know, I think a long time ago we used to think, oh, these are conspiracy theories, you mm-hmm. know, and everyone used to just dive in the internet and try to figure out what was going on. Yeah. And now all those conspiracy theories that we thought were conspiracy theories are now coming out and they are real, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome that you bring that up, because, you know, we think about it all the time. And now they just had this note that they just found.
Yeah, wait, we're going to talk about it. But the first question, when I asked you if you thought he killed himself or he was murdered, your answer was?
Absolutely not. I think this man is very much alive. And I think he's somewhere out there, you know, unfortunately to say this, but honestly speaking, I think he laughs at all of us while we are, you know, doing all this act, all this movement and trying to, you know, change the culture. Yeah. I think he's making fun of us.
Yeah. So again, when I posted this video on social media, a lot of people said, yes, we agree. But you knew him. Mm-hmm. You were obviously one of his victims. So what makes you think that? Like when they said, you know, he killed himself in jail, did you think that immediately, or was it something that you heard about? How did you come to this conclusion that you do think he's alive?
Well, when I first heard about it, my lawyer called me, you know, and it's so crazy because it's actually on my sister's birthday. So it's like a date that I could never forget.
When was the date?
It's August 10.
August 10th.
Yeah, he passed away August 10. So when she called me, I was just like, oh my God. My first thought was like, thank God I don't have to testify, because it's scary, you know. And, you know, today, obviously, I have a whole different view on that. Like if I needed to go and testify, like I think I'd be more willing today because I've now created courage. And, you know, it's a whole different mindset, right? Yeah. You know, you build up encouragement and other things as time goes on. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this man would have either killed himself or anybody could kill him. He was too powerful. He knew too many things and he was very well protected. And knowing how he was, you know, with his pride and his ego, he wouldn't go down in history like that. That's how I think.
Okay. So you think, because that's a huge, huge deal, right? Basically what we are saying is that the government helped him get out of jail, prison. jail, whatever he was, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you think everybody got all these forces together to get this man out of there because he said, if you guys don't get me out of here, I'm going to talk and tell stories about you?
Yeah. I think, you know, when I first encountered Jeffrey in the beginning, it was like, okay, I knew he was powerful and, you know, very rich. But he did make it clear to us, you know, and to a lot of the survivors, I do own the bank. I do own the government. I know everything about, you know, powerful people, presidents, you know, prince around the world that would destroy, you know.
So he would say that.
He would say that. And, you know, I think from that point on, after, mm-hmm. you know, 2019 happened, you know, we were like, okay, well, he can't be dead. Because mm-hmm. he knew too much and he had all these connections. And I think he really turned around and said to certain people, like, hey, listen, you don't get me out of here. I'm gonna talk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk and I'm gonna tell everybody what I know.
Well, that makes sense. So why do you think that potentially, I know we pronounce her name different ways, Ghislaine, you say Ghislaine. Ghislaine. Mm-hmm. And you met her, we're going to talk about
and
that.
It doesn't matter if we say her name correctly, right?
That monster.
Yes.
But anyway, do you think she could potentially do the same or she's trying to make a deal for her case? What are your thoughts on her?
Well, I see that she's really trying to get pardon out of, you know, what we call it, her country club, right?
Yeah.
And Trump, when it brings up to Trump, he almost makes believe, like, who are we talking about? Like,
right.
I don't know. I have to look into that. And I think they're working, you know, with Todd Blanch in it now, I think they're working around it. And I think they're just waiting, like dropping the UFO files and having all these distractions. I think it kind of, you know, centers us to something mm-hmm. else, and then he can maybe pardon her. So I don't know if she'll get pardoned, but I think it'll be big if that happens.
What would be your feeling if you, let's just say for argument's sake, that would happen. I mean, that would be a total shock to you and other victims, right?
I mean, we already have been dehumanized so many ways. I think this would be just another way to, you know, another slap in our faces. And, you know, come on. I mean, let's talk about this for a second. This is a predator. This is a pedophile.
Yeah.
She does not deserve to be pardoned.
No, of course not. No.
For what reason does she need to be out?
Right.
You know, if anything, we want her back in, you know, in actually where she belongs, in actual prison. Right now, she's in a country club, you know, living her best life.
It does drive me crazy. And we did talk a little bit about that and on the episode and when we were having dinner. That so many times the victims are villainized. The mm-hmm. victims are like, oh, why did she go back? Why was she there? Where mm-hmm. were the parents? They're judging the victims. And this woman sitting there, you barely can call that place like a prison, right? With all the privileges. But she's sitting there trying to paint this picture that she is the victim, that something wrong is being done to her. And that just, if it drives me crazy and I'm not involved, I can only imagine what that does to you.
I mean, if you listen to a lot of the survivors that were trafficked to Ghislaine, I was trafficked to Ghislaine only one time. But if you listen to a lot of these survivors who were trafficked to her a whole bunch of times, they do say that she was worse than Jeffrey Epstein.
Wow.
So what does that tell you?
Uh-huh.
That a woman who is the same gender as we are, that, you know, the survivors trusted because she was a woman and she groomed them so well because it was so much easier for her, right, than to Jeffrey to do it. And to allow to even think that she could be pardoned and then to be moved into a country club, it's just really, it's dehumanizing. It's a slap. It's disgusting. Yeah. It is.
Let's
a slap
just
in our
hope
face.
It doesn't happen. But you did mention, so let's tap into that before we talk about the suicide note, quote unquote. I definitely want to talk about that. But you did meet her.
Yes.
And I was really shocked when you tell me that the story that you not only you met her, but she forced you girls to have a sexual encounter with her.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we did. And it was so weird because, you know, usually we do stay in Jeffrey Epstein's massage room. But for that day, he wanted to go into his bedroom and there was another survivor with me. And, you know, we didn't think anything of it. And once we get into his bedroom, you know, we were laying in the bed and Ghislaine walked in and he's turned around and he said, a friend will be joining us today. And being so young, you know, I didn't realize.
Let's remind everybody how old you were.
I was 14. I was 14 years old.
That's like a freaking kid, right?
I have to say, it's like my daughter. We were on the cruise and she's seen the teacher. Yeah. And she told me this teacher was the same age as me. And when I saw the teacher, I was like, oh my God, we're not the same age. I am 37 going on 38. This teacher,
and your daughter now is the same age.
She's going to be 13.
She's 13, right?
So she does not.
We look at your daughter like, she's a little kid.
She's a little kid.
We cannot imagine like a little girl having to go through this, being put in the situations with these adults. Mm-hmm. It's so freaking crazy.
It is. It is. And it's crazy to think that a 13 or a 14 or 15-year-old will know the difference between a teenager and adult. Like, I always thought, like, you know, I thought Ghislaine was our age at that time, you know, and now
it
when
didn't
I look
compute in your head.
Right. And when I look at my daughter, her saying this teacher that we saw on the cruise that was my age, I was, you know, I turned around. I was with one of my friends and I was laughing. I was like, oh, my God, this just brought me back to how old I was. And I didn't know the difference between being a young teenage and a young, you know, woman and an older woman, you know. Yeah. So for us, it was very confusing, you know.
And I think another thing, too, that we have to picture in our heads if we can, because it's so disgusting. This is a massive power. Right. Because these are adults. They're powerful. Like you said, you know, this is a millionaire. You are like in this crazy fan.
Okay, honestly, I had been putting off getting new glasses for way too long. I'm always dealing with scratches, constantly cleaning them and just telling myself they're fine, because replacing glasses always feels like such a hassle, making appointments, spending a fortune, waiting forever. That's why I was so excited to discover Zenni Optical. It's an online eyewear shop where you can get prescription glasses, sunglasses, even blue light lenses starting at under $30. You just go to zenni.com, choose your frames, upload your prescription, and they ship them right to your door. No appointments, no stores, no pressure. And the price difference honestly shocked me. A similar pair at a traditional eyewear store would have easily cost me around $250, but with Zenni, I paid under $30. I literally thought, why have I been waiting so long? At these prices, you don't have to overthink it. You can get a classic pair for every day, a fun pair, even sunglasses, and still spend less than what one pair would cost elsewhere. Zenni has more than 150,000 five-star reviews. And if you're nervous about buying glasses online, they even have a virtual try-on feature so you can see how the frames look on your face before you order. And once I started wearing my new pair, I just feel so good to finally have glasses I actually enjoy wearing. So if you've been putting off replacing your glasses like I was, check out Zenni.com, Z-E-N-N-I.com, and see why so many people are making the switch. If your glasses are overdue for a refresh, now is the time. Go to zenni.com/podcast and use code podcast15 for 15% off your first order. The styles sell out, so don't sit on it. That's zenni.com, zenni.com/podcast, promo code podcast15.
And see multi-million-dollar house in New York, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you are girls, it's not like if you saw something or you didn't want to do something that you didn't want to do, I'm guessing you were probably super intimidated in terms of speaking up, right?
I mean, I don't think that any of us thought, you know, hey, let's speak up because this person is doing something absolutely wrong with us. Because that's a lot of grooming, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're groomed, it's just like when you're married. Uh-huh. You know, your husband grooms you and you don't think anything of it. And other people that are on the outside, they're like, oh, my God. Your husband is like treating you like shit. He's being really disrespectful. And in your head, you're like, no, he's
not.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he's not disrespecting me. This is something normal because that's what you're used to. So, you know, that's how Jeffrey molded us, you know, and he would know how to treat certain girls and he would know how to act with different girls, you know, and what to offer them. So he was very, very smart in that way. You know, he knew exactly and how to treat us, each one of us, you know.
Mental health is a subject that is incredibly close to my heart. A few years ago, I lost my mom. She took her own life. And then about 2.5 years ago, my brother-in-law took his own life.
this experience has changed my life forever and taught me just how important it is to seek support when you're struggling. The truth is, life can be overwhelming. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, grief, relationship challenges, stress, or simply feeling stuck, reaching out for help can be one of the most important steps you take for yourself. That's why I'm so happy to be partnering with Rula, a company that helps people find quality therapists and mental health professionals who will fit your needs. Rula makes it easier for you to connect with licensed providers and supports a wide range of mental health concerns. If you've been thinking about taking the first step, if you've been thinking about talking to someone, consider doing that today. You don't have to navigate life's challenges alone. Rula's patients typically pay $15 per session when using insurance. Connect with quality therapists and mental health experts who specialize in you today at www.rula.com/cat. That's www.rula.com/cat. Remember, your mental health should not have to wait.
Another thing that you mentioned to me that I was really shocked is that you said that once a girl was, 16, 17, he already considered that girl too old.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, I just, you know, I had a re-encounter with a survivor that I, that was, you know, went to Jeffrey's house. And when she came up to me, she's like, "Do you remember me?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." She's like, "Well, I remember I was 17 and you told me to say that I was 15 years old." And I was like, "I did?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Because he didn't want a 17, 18 year old. And I think a lot of the girls that were overage that went there just had a whole different dynamic with mm-hmm. him. I think they were trafficked to other people. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of the young girls that, you know, were with Jeffrey, he kept them for himself. It's something that I'm starting to see, that I'm noticing in some of the files.
Now, looking back as an adult at the whole situation, obviously it was horrible. So I'm not sure the word luck is the word I want to use, but maybe relieved that, because obviously I think a lot of these girls had a much worse fate, right? Like you said, they were trafficked to other countries, mm-hmm. to this creepy island mm-hmm. that we know nothing about, mm-hmm. or some crazy ranch, right? Mm-hmm. That same we know nothing about.
Yeah, you were one of the ranch. They yeah. stopped investigations. Right? It's so weird. It's like right? we don't know anything that's happening now. I look in yeah. the news. I'm like, what happened with investigations? Yeah.
To me, it's kind of funny because when they say they're investigating, honestly, I don't believe it because I never see. They say like, The island, but nobody's really do it. Like, they never showed us a result. So to me, when I see, like, they're investigating the ranch, they're investigating this, they know, they say their body's there. There is this and that and that. There were witnesses that came forward talking about mm-hmm. the island mm-hmm. and talking. There was this really famous architect. I forgot his name. You must have heard. He specifically described
he built, yes.
in detail mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. creepy the house mm-hmm. in this island was.
When Jeffrey had asked them to build.
Yeah,
and
right?
how he had asked them to do specific rooms in a very, right. You know, for young, you know, people. And yeah. he did a whole interview on that.
And he ended up leaving. He's like, "I don't want to do this job because it's too creepy," right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they have. So I honestly don't know if I believe that there is any investigation ever going on.
Well, we just have to look at it and say, if you're hiding 3 million other files, you're definitely not investigating. And
right?
also, you have to think about this. When you're not, when you say you're going to investigate something and then you don't, it only gives time for people to hide evidence.
Right.
So it's
the more time passes, the harder it gets, right?
And it's easier for people to go there that yeah. are in, you know, behind this corruption to go there and clean that up.
Yeah.
And then say,
yeah.
okay, well, now you can do the investigations.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it
exactly.
doesn't work like that.
No, I agree with you. But, oh my God, there's so many things I want to ask you. But before I forget, so literally just came out in the news. I also thought that was hilarious. Like, everybody's questioning it. Everybody's questioning. All of a sudden, this note appears. I mean, I didn't know the man. I'm just an outsider watching like everybody else. But I think, like, this is such BS. This dude was not going to write this note. Now, if you guys are listening to the audio episode, please go to Kat on the Loose Show on YouTube so you can see her face. Because your expression is worth a million.
Because it's 7 years later. What do you mean? Like, where did this note appear from 7 years later? And like, let's just put it in perspective here. When you have a note and you put something away for 7 years,
yeah,
the paper looked so fresh.
Yeah, right? No, like, the word, I just thought it was so bizarre. Like, this crazy powerful man would say, like, oh, I'm going down. It's some crazy. I forgot what exactly what it was.
Not worth it and not fun, or was fun and not worth it.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, exactly. Some crazy shit.
Well, Mark Epstein, which is his brother, is saying,
just said today that he doesn't believe it. He's lying. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious. You know, it's so obvious that the government.
I'm trying to pull it here
on my phone. Yes, please do. It's so obvious that the government has to make up something, because now people are like, everyone's like, this man is not dead. So now the government has to think of a way to prove to us that he is dead. And by doing that, we'll just scribble scrabble a nice little note saying that, you know, he's ready to kill himself.
Yeah. So, here it is. I found it.
I almost want to get some of his other stuff they wrote and start to say, hey, is this really it?
First of all, you should have a specialist in handwriting, right? Double check. Mm-hmm. But they investigated and found nothing. It is a treat to be able to choose one's time to say goodbye.
Hmm. I feel like there were... See, that's also what gets me, too.
I can't even understand. What? Come to me. I don't know. No fun.
No
fun. Not worth it.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Would he... You knew him. What is your opinion? Is there any chance in the world that he would write? And why would they only find it now?
7 years later.
Do you think there's any chance that this is the kind of stuff he would write?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I think total baloney.
I think
so.
It's
who is
bullshit?
Because now that we have this president in charge, okay, and he claims he has nothing to do with it.
He also says that we have, you know, excluded him from all. I forgot the word that he used right now. I'm blanking out. That we have exonerated him from being a part of any abuse with the survivors, which, you know, we have to say it was never asked. You know, I was never trafficked or abused by, you know, Donald Trump. But I think before he exonerates himself and say that we've exonerated him, I think it's only fair that he actually asks us before he does that, before he says that, you know. There are a lot of allegations on those files that are serious allegations. And, you know, one of those allegations, they found a model, or I guess one of the girls, one of the survivors in New York, and now she has disappeared. She's missing.
Are you serious?
She's missing.
Oh,
and I think she's a huge key to, I guess she was trafficked to a lot of different men, but now she's missing. And we, you know, and there's so much to focus on the Epstein files that it's hard to focus on this girl, because look how many things, right?
Right.
There's so many things out there that we are just slipping through the cracks and just letting it fall apart. And that's why it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah. But I see this note come out in the press when everybody's trying to talk about the case and doubting it, that this man is, you know, that he did commit suicide. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, who did it come from? I mean, it came from the government. So if you didn't do anything wrong, let's say for argument's sake, okay, you're an innocent lamb. You never abused any girls. No girl sat on your lap on his plane, on some private plane, like it's on a million pictures. Your wife was not introduced to you by him, right? That's a whole other story. But so why would you be putting this out there now? What would be the purpose?
Well, I think Paolo Zampalli is talking a lot, too, which is Amanda Ungaro's ex.
Right. Can you explain to people that don't... She got deported. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the story quickly for people that don't know who they are?
Her story's a little crazy because, you know, we're hearing from different people. We're not hearing straight from Amanda, right? So what we understand...
Well, she did give interviews.
She did, but I can't seem to find the full interview. It's like it's almost holding... It's like they're holding back some pieces, you know. So from what I understand and having a couple of people that I talked to in Italy, we have this reporter that has been digging into it and seeing that Amanda Ungaro, which is a Brazilian former model, met Paolo Zampalli, who is also working with Jean...
Who was this Paulo Sampaoli? For he's been in the news a lot lately. Can you explain to people that never heard of him?
I from what I'm understanding, he's also in the modeling industry, and he does some sort of, you know, something to do with traveling or you know, getting models to do things. And I think that's how he met Amanda Ongaro, if I'm not mistaken. And they had a kid together, and I think they went through a separation. They were not married, because I thought they were. They were not married, and when they separated, she wanted to keep custody of her child, and he didn't want to, and he was giving her a very, very hard time. And what he did was he then called one of his really, really, you know, important friends and was like, hey, get my ex-girlfriend deported because I want to keep
my kid. Connection, what is his connection with the Epstein story?
Well, from what I understand is saying that he knew Melania, our first lady, which was introduced. He's saying that he introduced Melania to President Trump. But then we have other people saying that Jeffrey Epstein knew Melania, and she introduced him to President Trump. And Paulo Zampaoli saying like, no, 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 she's a sweet girl. I'm the one that introduced them to each other, you know. So it's very confusing.
It's so much dirt. Right? That's the problem. It's so much dirt.
And now all they have silenced her, too.
Yeah.
They have silenced her. They took out her Twitter account or X account, I guess, you know, whatever it's called. So it's very hard, you know. And I think any mother that is in a different country and got deported, was detained in ICE for 3 months.
Wow.
And has no voice, knew the first lady. They were best friends, from what I am understanding. They, you know, first lady used to send out Secret Service to pick her up and bring her to birthday parties and all of this. They were very good friends. And then she feels betrayed, like, you turned your back on me, and you know I was detained in ICE for 3 months. You know I don't have my kid. And she was really, you know, going out on social media on the first lady.
It sounds like they wanted her to shut up because
they wanted to silence
her. To tell the story.
They did. They silenced her exactly on the first lady's birthday, which I didn't know was her birthday, but they did it on the day. And I think she was going to come out with way more. And they silenced her ex account did all of this. But like, can you imagine you being separated, like, you know, from your child? People would be calling me like, they would be calling me like a maniac.
Yeah.
Because I would be a maniac.
Yeah, of course. Like most moms, right? So the kids stayed in the United States?
I think the kids in Italy with Paolo Zampaoli.
Yeah, in Italy. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Now, in your case, when you decided to start speaking up, were you afraid? Because obviously speaking up, the more you do it, the more empowered you feel, right? And you're like, I'm going to keep doing this because it's my story. I have the right to tell my story. I'm going to stand my ground, which I think it's fantastic. And I admire you so much for that. And I keep repeating it. We have to speak up. You have to speak up. You have to share the interview. You have to share because obviously as women, we have to be supportive of each other. 100%. But if you are a decent human, you want to... any victim to speak up until there is some sort of justice, right? And these freaking politicians all over the world, like, I don't think anybody went to even trial or prison or anything for what was done to you girls. But were you afraid in the beginning?
It was something that I didn't think of it in the, like, in the long run, how it was going to be. You know, I didn't think of it like that far ahead, you know. And as I keep going, I think people tell me I'm not worried enough and I'm not paranoid enough. And my thought is like, listen, I think that we are here in this world and we have our stories written down for us, right? Whether you believe it in God or whether you believe it in any religion and whatever it is, like, our stories are written for us, right? So however I'm going to pass, it's already written. Is it going to be through advocating? Is it going to be because I'm telling my story? Is it going to be because I crossed the street and got hit by a car? It's going to happen. It's not going to change. Right. So I really don't, you know, I'm not here like, oh my God, I need, you know, it does make me paranoid or I guess worried when they release the files and they're unredacted. And it's not paranoid for me. It's more paranoid for my daughter.
Yeah. But that's pretty crazy too, right? That they release, but they don't really release because there's so much information that's not out there. It, I mean, again, I don't even understand because, and you're an immigrant like me, we both come from Brazil. And that's one of the things that touched me so much about your story. Of course, because we know, you know, the pains and the troubles and how hard it is to be an immigrant because we both come from troubled families, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people write on my social media like that I lived a sheltered life and all this bullshit, and I laugh because I'm like, before you judge someone or you make that decision, mm-hmm. you should listen to their story. So I we've agree. Both been through a lot, and it's not easy being an immigrant in a different country. But I, as an immigrant, for the longest time before my shit happened to me, I was super naive. I was like, I live in the United States. I'm an American citizen. The laws protect me. Everything is so perfect in this beautiful country. It's not so shady and disgusting like in Brazil. And then, of course, when I got, pardon my French, fucked, I was like, wow. And so when I look at these files coming out, I have the same thought. I'm like, what kind of what kind of country are we in? You know, it's why are they even bothering?
Well, I said it before and I said it yesterday when I was, you know, talking to somebody. I said, sometimes I have to look around and say, are we in South America?
Right.
Like, there's so much corruption here. And again, it goes back to me saying we thought all of these conspiracy theories, you know, and it was, you know, back in the days we were like, oh, these are conspiracy. We are now coming down to realization that this is all very much real. The government is not what we think. The justice system is not what we think. It cannot be trusted. Our freedom of speech is 100% being taken away from
freedom
us.
Freedom of speech, as long as you don't talk about certain people that don't want to be talked
about. Right, and we already know who it is. God forbid we talk about the president of the United States of right? America. I mean, I feel bad for some of these people on TV. I mean, he wants to fire everybody.
Yes.
It's like...
And sue everybody. And if you talk about him, you're
a liar. The American way.
Blah, 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 blah.
The American way. Let's sue right. everybody.
But I agree with you. I get so shocked because it's sad for me to say, because of course I love living here. I've been here for decades,
Yes.
But I was really sad to see the amount of cover up, the amount of corruption, the amount of bullshit that you just said. And I used to think that this only happens in countries like Brazil.
Third world countries.
But here it's mm-hmm. the same or even worse because the power is so big. They have unlimited money to shut people mm-hmm. up.
Well, I think also what really is really, you know, fucked up in a way, and excuse me my language, but we all know about it, right? And there's yeah. like, and it's like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we yeah. do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, who do we turn to? You know, and then the more people speak, people are speaking about and talking about and using their voice so, so much about the corruption that is going on right now with, you know, how people are covering up for all these perpetrators. But it's like, what do we do? Because yeah. the justice system is failing us so hard in the United States of America. And once it fails us here, that means the other countries are just going like, well, if the United States of America is not doing it, then we don't have to do it because other countries look up to us, yeah. you know?
And another problem in your case, a lot of the victims, such as yourself, are alive and well. And hence, you want and deserve some measure, at least, of justice. Mm-hmm. So what, in your mind now, with the chaos that the situation is now, the government said he's dead. Okay. I know. You don't think he is. And a lot of people agree with you. They don't think he is. Mm-hmm. But the government said there is no man here to prosecute.
Right.
She's in this country club style prison. We don't know what's going to happen to her. So, you know, given the circumstances in your head, what would be, is it possible for you to, and other victims to feel there is any kind of justice for what happened to you?
You know, I think every survivor looks at justice in a different way, mm-hmm. you know, and I think a lot of the survivors want to build and do a lot of advocacy and pass different laws for this generation and future generations. So I think that's one thing that we can do, right? Bringing justice when Jeffrey Epstein is not here, for me, that is huge justice, right? Like when we think about like, oh, okay, well, you know, this man raped this girl and mm-hmm. now he'll be in jail for X amount of years. What happens when he gets released? He gets probation and, you know, he gets washed. But does that really stop him from being a pedophile and raping people?
No.
A young girl, you know, young girls.
Okay, honestly, I had been putting off getting new glasses for way too long. I'm always dealing with scratches, constantly cleaning them and just telling myself, they're fine, because replacing glasses always feels like such a hassle, making appointments, spending a fortune, waiting forever. That's why I was so excited to discover Zenni Optical. It's an online eyewear shop where you can get prescription glasses, sunglasses, even blue light lenses, starting at under $30. You just go to Zenni.com to choose your frames, upload your prescription, and they ship them right to your door. No appointments, no stores, no pressure. And the price difference honestly shocked me. A similar pair at a traditional eyewear store would have easily cost me around $250. But with Zenni, I paid under $30. I literally thought, why have I been waiting so long? At these prices, you don't have to overthink it. You can get a classic pair for every day, a fun pair, even sunglasses, and still spend less than what one pair would cost elsewhere. Zenni has more than 150,000 five-star reviews. And if you're nervous about buying glasses online, they even have a virtual try-on feature so you can see how the frames look on your face before you order. And once I started wearing my new pair, I just feel so good to finally have glasses I actually enjoy wearing. So if you've been putting off replacing your glasses like I was, check out Zenni.com, Z-E-N-N-I.com, and see why so many people are making the switch. If your glasses are overdue for a refresh, now is the time. Go to zenni.com/podcast and use code podcast15 for 15% off your first order. The styles sell out, so don't sit on it. That's zenni.com, zenni.com/podcast, promo code podcast15.
So young boys, no, it doesn't. The perpetrator is only really going to stop when he's no longer here with us. Even though Jeffrey Epstein is no longer here with us,
quote unquote, she's quote making unquote. Quotes.
Yeah, you know, I find it, I think that is sweet justice. You know, he's no longer going to hurt anymore, you know, young girls, you know. Now, so
another thing that came to my mind, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I'm just throwing stuff out there. He was crazy rich, right? He had so much money.
Yeah.
Do you know what, if he died, okay, who inherited all of his money? And could you go and sue him in civil trial for damages? Which, well, obviously, personally, I think you should and deserve.
Well, a lot of the survivors did, you know, so when we all, well, when I got subpoenaed, I should say, you know, I, you know, lawyers want to make money. So, you know, that's the first thing. I went to go look for a lawyer. Well, I was presented to, you know, to pick out of a lawyer. It was just to protect myself. But behind the scenes, they were asking for Jeffrey Epstein for a settlement. I wasn't aware of that, right?
Like, your lawyer didn't tell you?
Well, I think at the time there was so much going on with talking with the FBI and talking with my lawyers that I didn't know that they were asking for a settlement. You know, I only found out later on when I was able to look at some of my files and some of the emails. So a lot of the girls were able to sue his estate. And before he passed away, he actually moved his money into to the islands. So I forgot which island it was, but he moved it to the islands, which made it
this
really
fiscal
hard.
Paradise type places.
It was, it made really hard for the the survivors to get.
But he must have stuff in the United States, right? He had so many properties.
He, did.
Okay,
but he,
so let's,
that's his estate. So, you know, we were able to sue that.
Yeah, okay, good. Good.
So some of the girls did. A lot of the girls missed that little that trial, you know, that you were allowed to sue him. So a lot of the girls, now that the Gender Motive Act law is passed, which is just passed in Albany, they are allowed to, you know, go after his estate. The girls that didn't go, the survivors that didn't go, that were scared to step up, you know. And actually, a lot of those survivors that are stepping up now, they went into Albany and helped pass the law, they are Brazilian.
Oh, really? So you are not the only one.
Yep. They're speaking out. So
that's great.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
But because we did mention another thing, a lot of people comment on the videos that I put on social media, and this comment really drives me crazy. And I am trying to respond every single one of them, and there is hundreds and hundreds. They're like, where were the parents? Why was this girl there? Well, and I'm like, number one, don't stop judging the victim. You cannot judge a kid.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of these girls, such as yourself, came from broken homes. Predators always prey on kids with broken homes. Yes. Right? You yes. don't, the mother is, God knows, some parents were doing drugs, some parents were working, some parents literally didn't give a fuck about the kids. And in your case, as you mentioned in the first episode that we did, you guys, if you didn't listen, please go there and listen to her story because it's very powerful. You came from you were being abused in your own home.
Yes. I started getting sexually abused by my stepfather as soon as I got to America at 8 years old. And my mom did absolutely nothing. You know, yeah. She unfortunately blamed me for even going to the police, having somebody bring me the courage to mm-hmm. go with her to the police and have this person stop yeah. abusing me. So we have to say that, you know, today somebody asked me, was like, I don't understand women. How do women not know when they are getting abused in their marriage? I said, when you don't know anything better, if you only know that somebody's saying like, hey, shut the fuck up. Hey, do this, yeah. do that. And you grow up around that.
Yeah,
that's what you're used to, and you think that's yes. what it is, and
it
you think that's what
many,
you're worth.
Yes,
you
it takes many. It took me 15 years to get out of an abusive marriage. I'm sure it took your mom a long time. 17
years for me to get out of my abusive marriage.
Yes, yeah. But mm-hmm. obviously, as a child, and I said that we hope that every child is being protected by their parents, but it's not the case in real life, mm-hmm. and. Obviously, this man, not only he was a predator, but I think he was one of the most dangerous types of predator because he had means, mm-hmm. he had money. Mm-hmm. And when you're desperate and you need to work and you're hustling because you want to eat and you want to live right someplace, they mm-hmm. know, and they're predators, they prey. They smell you. Blood, right? Yes, and they're going to yes. prey on you.
And we have to think about it. Like, you have your kid. She's 12, 13, 14 years old. Who gives that kind of responsibility to a child right. to be the head of household or even blame her for any of yeah. the things that she just wants to be free of?
Right. No, you obviously know? A 14-year-old shouldn't be working, shouldn't be out there hustling.
Shouldn't have to worry of that.
Of course not.
Their main worry should be activity, school, being yeah. a teenager.
Yeah, absolutely. But in your case, it's very sad, but it happens to millions of children everywhere in the world. You are not being protected by your parents. You are not living in a sheltered, perfect home situation. And I think it's absurd for someone to ask a child why she did A, B, C, D, because obviously I'm sure you would not want that for you or anybody else.
I think these people are living in a bubble and they're very ignorant.
Yeah,
and
I
think
agree.
They need to open up their mindset and just do a little research. It's what I say sometimes when I answer people, when I do have the chance. So I'm like, hey, just go look at all my story, my full story. I have some episodes where I'm like 2 hours I'm talking about my full life, you mm-hmm. know? It's not just something we woke up one day and we're like, okay, well, we're going to do this for money. No, we were pushed to do that and we had no choice. It was, you know, how are we going to eat?
Yeah.
How am I going to do things? How is my mom going to pay bills? You know, if your mom and your father is not taking that step to be responsible, a responsible parent, yeah. because when you're a parent, you have to be responsible for your kid. It's
oh
not your
goodness,
kid.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Right? But let's be honest. So, again, that's not what you have. It should be what happens with every single child on the planet.
Yes.
But it's not what happens. And for a predator, in this case, obviously, he was also, I'm guessing he must have been a massive sex addict because he's bringing these women
he was,
time and time and time and time. Women,
was
girls,
climaxing
right?
and having girls go over there 6 to 8 times a day.
Right. That's sick. That's sick. And the fact they had so much money, so he knows the neighborhoods to go. He knows exactly he's
well,
grooming
he didn't have
the...
to go. He no, had Ghislaine
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's grooming yeah. older girls to get younger girls, like in your case, and this monster, this Ghislaine, whatever the fuck her name is, but they knew exactly where to find girls like you that were so vulnerable that it was easy to lure them in.
Yeah, it was easy to lure us in, especially when you had girls yeah. already going there and had a broken family. And, you know, it's what they say. It's, you know, you have a friend that your friends are. Or who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and my friends were coming from broke families. They, you know, their families were drug addicts. Some of them were drug addicts, you know. And I think all of us that were there, he knew to pick that, you know, our young age because we were going to bring girls at that age. And when I got to 17 years old, I was hanging out with older girls. I wasn't hanging out with the younger girls. Mm-hmm. So it was very hard for me to keep up with him because I couldn't provide you know, with what he wanted. So yeah. when I would bring him a girl, it's like the girl I said, she was 7 or she was 18 at the time. And I was like, just say you're 15. And he definitely didn't fall for it. He was so mad to the point where he was like, wow. I need you to bring me IDs. He's like, I'm tired wow. of you bringing me all these old girls. He's like, I need girls with IDs.
That is so disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Now, I do want to mention one thing that I think is also very important, because I'm a firm believer that I think unless you've been abused yourself, it's very hard for someone to understand how painful abuse is. Mm-hmm. Because we tell our stories and people look like, obviously, luckily, hopefully, most people have not been abused.
Yeah.
But it's not something that you get over overnight, right? It's a very long healing process. So it drives me crazy. Like I told you, I also gave you this example. One of our videos for during our first interview, we were kind of laughing about something and you had a beautiful smile on your face. And somebody wrote, why are they smiling? Because it's such a serious subject. And I said, well, she has the right to smile and rebuild her life. And thank goodness, right, that she's doing so incredibly well nowadays. Same with me. But it wasn't something like you don't get out of that and the next day you're like, oh, my God, it's such a long journey. Right, Marina?
It's within time. And people have to understand that. Why would you want to see any of the survivors sad?
Right.
This is something that we are trying to help people understand. There is life after abuse and it's okay to be happy. Nobody yes. wants to live in the past.
Right.
Who wants to live in the past, being abused or not? Everyone has different traumas in their life. Nobody wants a person to be dragging it out for the rest of your life. You need to change that and make it into something positive. Unfortunately, this horrific thing happened to me when I was young. Yes, it did. It was terrible. I absolutely hate it. I planned to kill my stepfather. I hated Jeffrey Epstein, among other, you know, abusers that I had. But can you imagine if I was crying every day about it?
Right.
How am I supposed to care for my child?
Good for
How am I
you.
Supposed to care yeah. for my mental health?
Yeah.
Okay. How am I supposed to care for my four dogs, my house? I have a lot of responsibilities. I can't sit here and be crying about what happened to me in the past. I need to worry about what's today. And it takes a healing. It's a healing process.
Yeah.
And that healing process, it comes along with taking everybody out of your life that's literally draining you down.
Yes.
And giving you these negative, you know, thoughts or energy. You need to, you know, it's like I say, you need to cacao them.
You need to 1,000,000%. You got to start fresh. And I not to mention,
and it's sad to say that people are like, why is she laughing? Why?
I wish people would say, thank goodness, in your case, Marina is doing so well. She's healed. She's living an amazing life. She has a healthy, happy daughter. As opposed to, you know, we don't want anybody to end up like Virginia.
Yes.
Virginia took her life. Virginia Guffrey took her own life. Like, I mean, she wrote a beautiful book. Mm-hmm. She became an outspoken victim.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were all rooting for her.
We're continue to, you know, do the advocacy work that she started.
Yeah.
She has started such an important, you know, job and a work, you know, and it took so long for it to take off that unfortunately she had to pass away for people to take this seriously.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's only important for us to fight for each other and to not bring us down, but to help us along this fight. And I think
1,000,000%.
People have a problem with that. When they see somebody else happy, they're like, we don't want it.
Yeah.
And why?
We don't want it.
Why? This is why we are getting divided and not united.
But we need to change that because, again, I think by speaking up, we give voice to so many victims of abuse that don't speak up. And more importantly, if anyone out there is in a tough situation right now, hopefully we give them strength to get out, because we are living proof that you can rebuild, you can start over, you can find happiness
at any age.
And you can heal, right?
Yes.
You can heal. And yes, I think collectively, I would hope as a society, there's only two teams. Either you're a fucking criminal, then you're going to protect the criminals. But if you're not, stand by the victims if you are a decent human, mm-hmm. right? Be proud of the fact that they are speaking up, that you're speaking up, because mm-hmm. again, you cannot keep putting this dirt under the carpet. Yeah. And if the victims don't speak up, guess what? They put the dirt
the perpetrator
under the
will only continue. Yeah. He will not be stopped. It's yeah. what I say. If you don't speak up, the perpetrator will continue, right? Yeah. So speak up so that it can be stopped. And okay, maybe it happened to you, but you're saving the next person.
Yes.
So don't ever forget to speak up. You don't have to tell the whole world.
Yes.
But do tell somebody that yeah. will make a change. And when somebody is speaking about making a change and they're happy and they're advocating to make that change, don't look at them and go, like, why is she smiling? Well, we are healed. We are trying to make progress here. And on that way of that process, we want to be happy.
You deserve
Nobody
to be happy.
To be sad
period.
All the time.
Right?
Yeah.
You deserve to be happy. You know, yeah. it's so funny that you said that, because the other day, I have no idea what happened to me. And I was walking my dog and I was smiling. I was like, la, la. And then I stopped myself and I'm like, oh, I feel guilty that I'm so happy. You know, can you believe that? I'm like, should
Is it because other people?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I've been, you know, so much happened. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I deserve to be happy. It took yeah. me so long to get here. Yeah. But we have this thing in our brain. You have to rewire your brain. Yeah. Because like you said, when you give an interview or when you talk, or in my case, I do the podcast, people expect, oh, if it's true that they were a victim of whatever,
sad.
They should yeah. be the most miserable bitches in the world,
and
right?
And are we supposed to do that for the rest of our lives?
No, right?
And
no.
who? And I think at the end of the day, people would be like, oh my God, here we go again. This girl with her sad story being all sad. Listen, guys, we talk. Yeah. It's to empower women and to also, like we said, to help them understand.
Yes.
This process that we went through was horrific, but we are managing to shape this into such a positive
yes.
way and helping other women and men who have been through abuse as well.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's okay to smile.
Yes.
It's okay to have fun. It's okay to be sexy. It's okay to be classy. It's okay to feel good about yourself and to 100%. Have happy thoughts.
Yes.
You know, this is part of your healing journey. And once you step into that world,
yeah.
you're like, oh no, I could never go back
yeah.
to that. You
and
know?
I would hope, all I believe that normally the abuser, a big part of being abuser, what turns them on is the power they have over you.
The control, yes.
The control, the power. So when you build another life for you and you're happy and you're smiling and you feel powerful, you take their power away.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically saying, you know what? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you did to me, you didn't destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important for self-healing. It's a very powerful thing
yes.
to do, to give
to
yourself. Right?
So your stuff. Yeah.
Before I let you go, because we're running out of time, we're going to have to do part three. Quick opinion.
Me.
I know we talked briefly about it on the first episode, but I want to put it here. When, again, really quickly before we go. It was super crazy, right? The day Melania went on TV, like impromptu. Do you want to drink some love?
Yes, I do.
So, when Melania went on TV, impromptu. Defending herself out of the blue. Nobody expected it. Nobody knew. Again, I'm not a part of the case. And I was like, because I believe if you're not guilty, if you didn't do anything wrong, why would you just go there and say, by the way, I didn't
well,
do anything.
Well, it was because of Amanda Ungaro.
Yeah, but do you
she
think
knew
that's
Amanda 100%.
Mm. So 100%. She was like being proactive, defending herself.
She knew Amanda was going to come out with those.
I'm sorry, girl, drink.
I know. You hear me, right?
I feel like, so bad. Please.
I think I choked on my own
breath.
Spit.
Catch your breath. We are drinking love. Has no sugar. Just
cheers.
Cheers,
I see.
Girl.
There is no sugar.
No sugar at all. Just electrolytes, potassium.
What
so
is
good.
This from?
It's called love. Drink
I've
love.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Yeah. Mm.
Thank you for sending
well,
us
thank
a lot
God.
Of love. See,
thank God for love.
Saved Marina.
It's, yeah, seriously. I'm like almost crying here now. I think that, you know, the first lady knew that Amanda was going to come out with this, and she needed to prepare a speech to protect herself, you know. So Amanda holds a lot of information, and we all wonder how can we talk to this young woman who has all this information. But I think Amanda's only intentions are, hey, I just want my kid back.
Yeah. I think,
you know, and
yeah.
I don't blame her.
And it's
and
so
it's
freaking
so messed up
mean.
When people are like, ugh. When people are like, she needs to talk. I'm like, guys, she
give
wants her,
her
kid
yeah,
back.
Give her a speech.
She's
give
been
her,
through,
yeah.
she's been through, it looks like she's yeah. been through a lot of shit in yeah. her life.
Separating a mom, and you mentioned that to me too. which I think is awful. The Brazilian press is ruthless with the Brazilian victim. It's like, what's wrong with you people? If anything, they should be a million times more supportive of whatever you need, right? And they're judging and pressuring.
Look at our country, how bad the trafficking, the raping. We look at the favelas, which is the slum.
We have to do an entire episode about that it's insane. Portuguese.
It's insane. So there's so much work to do in other countries. And we need to, you know, us as American women, you know, we need to move that into other countries and bring that empowerment and change that culture over there, you know? So it's hard work, but I think it's something that, you know, is on my, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah. We have to do another one in Portuguese and call out the attention, because I think, we need to be more supportive of the victims as opposed. I understand people having questions and doubts, and you are so open in terms of answering all the questions, the same way I am when people question my story. What do you mean this? And I'm like, ask me anything you want. Everything is open record in Fanda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference between having doubts and questions and judging and saying nasty things about something you don't know anything about.
It's
a big difference, right?
Huge difference. Yep. I agree with you.
Marina, I feel so honored that your story united us, brought us together. I know we're friends forever.
Yes, 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 yes. Now you just have to come down and visit me, maybe at least once, and meet my daughter and my dogs.
Deal. I would love that, because now we know that you live near my sister and my nephew, right?
Very close.
Yeah, I got to connect you girls.
You have to connect
us. But I have to say, you're very brave. Don't stop speaking. Congratulations on everything that you do for your case and other victims. And yes, you are gorgeous and fabulous, and you have a beautiful smile. So keep smiling.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for building this great platform where we can use our voices, you know, and to continue fighting. It's also very brave of you to have this platform where people can openly speak about not only their, you know, past traumas and abuse, but to talk about what things are going on in our country and in our world now.
Right? So, I said, if we don't speak up, the abuse continues, the wrong things continue. Hopefully we're paving the way for more and more and more, especially Latinas, Brazilians, immigrants, you know.
European women too are very shamed.
Speak up about everything that happened. Don't be afraid. And I'm sure I'll have you back on the show, because we're going to have millions more questions for you. And I'm putting the link to her Instagram here on the audio episode so you guys can follow her beautiful work, because she puts some amazing videos out there. Yeah. Thank you, my love.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. By the way, I'm also putting a lot of resources. If you know someone, or if you are being a victim of abuse, if you need help, I'm putting a bunch of resources right down here. Phone numbers, links, websites where you can get help, because you can always, always, always get help. Okay?
Amen.
Be safe out there. Thank you, my love.
Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you.
See you guys very soon. Yay. Bye.